Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you this morning. Father, I ask that you just watch over each of us, that you open our hearts and our minds, that we may pursue you, that we may seek you in all that we do. Father, we thank you for the offering that you give us. Father, may we use it for your glory and not our own. And Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand for worship. For those of you who are new to us, after the first song of every service, we set aside time to pray for people in our lives who don't know Jesus. We set aside time to lift those people up in prayer to our Heavenly Father. There's these little cards out there, if you don't have one and you'd like one, that's called My Three. And the idea of the card is you take three people in your life that don't know Jesus, that you know aren't going to church, that aren't pursuing a relationship with God, and you put their names on it and you pray for them daily. You stick them in your Bible, you put them in your wallet, you put them up on the mirror, wherever you will remember them and to remember to pray for them daily. And we believe so heavily in the power of prayer in this church, and we've already seen people come to Jesus through these prayers. We've already seen people who are starting to turn back to God and starting to ask questions that are being put on these lists. And we believe in the power of prayer here. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray for these people in our lives that need Jesus as a congregation. So let's bow our heads at this moment. And as I pray, you guys lift up your own people and I will pray for everyone. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability to come together and to praise and to worship you. Father, we know there are lost people in our lives. There are people that are walking without you today, that are our friends and our families that need you. Father, we lift them up into your holy hands. We know you're the only one that can break through of the hardest of hearts. You're the only one that can change people and pursue after them. Father, we ask that this week you may open the doors for us to have those conversations with them. And Father, if we're not the ones appointed to have that conversation, we pray that the right person comes along and has that conversation. Father, we trust you for this. We believe you for this. And Father, we turn them over to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And Oh Lord, you're my shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing. For you are with me.
Where can I go but to the cross, for there my shame you have washed away. Where can I go but to the cross, to the cross, for there you gave up your life for me. You gave your life for me. You stretched your arms out wide. I lift my hands up high to my Savior. Stretch your arms out wide. I lift my hands up high to my Savior. So Lord, I run to the cross, to the cross. Surrender all to my Savior. My everything. You stretch your arms out wide. I lift my hands up high to my Savior. You stretch your arms out wide.
You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of our guests that are here this morning, and for those of you who made your mom's day or grandma's day by coming to church with her this morning, we appreciate you coming out the way you did. I also want to welcome all of our guests that are joining us online and on the radio. We're glad that you could be here with us. Before we dive into the message, though, this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to learn more about who you are. Father, we thank you for your son and what he did on that cross for you and I. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning's message is your words and not my own. Father, I pray if I say anything that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. But Father, we also pray for the softening of the hardest of hearts, that we may hear your voice, we may hear you calling out to us. Father, we thank you for this. Father, we pray for your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy Mother's Day again to each one of the moms. We're so glad that you're here. Last week, we looked at Jesus in his ministry when he was in Galilee, where he spent time in the synagogues preaching and teaching, which was very common for Jesus to do. And on top of that, we saw him heal a man with leprosy. Now, leprosy being one of those things that most people would avoid. Most people would never want to be around someone who's got leprosy. Your friends, your family, everything would have deserted you. You no longer got to be part of normal society. You were an outcast. You were the lowest of the low in the world that you lived in. Yet the man last week heard about Jesus, and he understood that it was only Jesus that could restore him. It was only Jesus that could bring his life back to what it was before. So he did whatever he had to do to get to Jesus. And he asked Jesus for healing. Not only did Jesus answer his request, Jesus did something that nobody else had done in a long time. He reached out and he touched him. The question for last week was, who in your lives are the modern day leper? Who are those people in our world that are the outcasts? You know, as Christians, we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're called to take Jesus to the world around us, to share the good news of our Savior. We're called to feed the hungry, to care for the sick. We're called to look after the elderly, the widows, the orphans. But ultimately, our job is to share Jesus with everyone we run into. Because Jesus can restore the mind, body, and soul. He's the one who can break down any barriers that you have in your life. And just as the man with leprosy asked last week, if Jesus was willing to heal him, there are many in our world today that are looking for that healing. And not just physical healing, but healing of the mind. Healing of the brokenhearted. And last week we had a man who heard about Jesus and went to him himself. This week, though, we're going to be looking at a man that did not go to Jesus alone. In fact, he could not go to Christ alone. It's the story of the paralytic man. He was bound in his bed, and he was not able to move. This man had four people in his corner. Four people that were willing to do whatever they had to do to get him to Jesus. Because they understood the only hope their friend had was Jesus himself. We all have family and friends that are lost and feel as if there's no hope left in their life. They're lost and they don't know where to turn. Everything seems to be falling apart. Even us as believers can have those moments where everything seems to be knocking us down. That every time that we think we're getting our head around something or it's starting to come back up, it's like life comes in like a freight train and just knocks you right back on your butt. It does. Instant. And it can be frustrating and disappointing. The title of the message, though, this morning is, Who is in Your Corner? Who are those people that you know you can count on? Who are those people that will stand with you no matter what you face in life? Now, I'm not talking about the yes people in our lives. We have plenty of yes people in our lives. I'm talking about the ones that will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. You see, yes people will help you justify anything that you're doing, even if you know you shouldn't be doing it. They'll help you work through that and tell you, you're fine, do it. Yes people will tell you that drinking poison is a good thing because it's what you want to hear at that moment. Yes, people will lead you away from Jesus because they will encourage you to follow your flesh desires. There's a lot of yes people in our lives. There's a lot of yes people out there. No, the people I'm talking about this morning are those people in your life that will tell you what you need to hear. Now, these people are different than the yes people. These people will encourage you when life has you down. These people will point out when you are messed up. Now, I'm not talking about critics. We all have those as well. You see, the people in your corner will help put you back on the right path, not just point out that you did something wrong. The people in your corner aren't going to tell everyone else what you did, but they will talk to you. They will come to you and have that conversation. They will help you get back on the right path of life. They are the ones that when you find yourself in a pit, they will not only reach out a hand, but they will jump down in the pit with you and give you a lift up. Throughout our lives, we may find different people in our corner at different times. There is someone that is often in your corner from the beginning, though. It's our parents, especially moms. We have a tendency to take advantages of moms, especially when we're growing up, don't we? We know more than they do. That's what we tell ourselves. We always think she will be there to stand us up and help us walk, to take her hand and guide us, to be a shoulder to cry on, and forever leaning on for advice. Odds are she was there when you took your first steps. She was also there to help you back up after you fell. When you got sick, it was often mom that was there to comfort you even if it meant she got sick as well. How many times have you had to make a big decision, big or small, for life, and you first thing you did was called mom for her opinion? Because you knew she would tell you what you needed to hear and help you figure out the details you may not have thought of. Of course, if you had a mother like mine, who has a very strong personality, if for those of you who haven't met her before, odds are she often offered her opinion on many different subjects of your life without you ever even asking. But you knew no matter what you faced in life, you knew mom would not be happy about what you did. She was still going to be in your corner, helping you back up, helping guide you. No matter how bad you screwed up or how many times you think you failed, moms are often there to help dust us back off and encourage us to try again. She's normally one of the first people in your corner in your life. So who's in your corner this morning? Who are the people that you can count on? Who is willing to help point you back to Jesus and tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear? The way we get to this point to have these people in our lives is by doing life together. We often get guarded in our world. We're so worried about being offended that we put these walls up so that we don't listen to what others have to say. We look for the yes people in our lives instead of the ones who will actually stand in our corner when things go poorly. We no longer see people doing life together. We may meet up with people from time to time, but we don't actually sit down and share life's experiences. We no longer look for people that will help us grow and become better. Yet that's not how we're intended to live. Throughout the life of Christ, we see Jesus doing life with others. We see him going out into the community. We see him going with his disciples. We even see him on the night that he was arrested. Before he was brought to trial, he had his disciples with him as he went to pray, asking them to pray with him in the garden. We look over to the rest of the New Testament and we see the early church, where they had everything in common and none of them needed for anything because they took care of each other, they lifted each other up, they were in each other's corner. And shocker alert, they even pointed out each other's sin. Now, this isn't something we like and makes us uncomfortable, often makes people mad. Now, I'm not talking about pointing out a non-believer sin. If someone doesn't believe in the Word of God, we can't expect them to adhere to His Word and live up to it. But as Christians, we're called to hold each other accountable, to push each other to do better, not to spread it to everyone else what someone did, but to go to our brother and sister in private and encourage them to turn back to Jesus. When someone was knocked down in the early church, the rest of the church was there to lift them back up. It's the same thing we're called to do today. Our faith is not called to be just a one-on-one thing with God, but is it intended to be walked out in a community of believers? For iron sharpens iron. And this morning's passage, we see the importance of having friends willing to be in our corner, who are willing to lift us up and to take us to Jesus when we hit that moment in life we can no longer do it ourselves. So as we dive in this Life of Christ series, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, for those who want to follow along. Starting with verse 1, when he entered Capernaum, again, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Now, this chapter begins where last week's left off. Jesus had just healed the man with leprosy, and that guy with leprosy was going around telling everyone what Jesus had done, telling everyone how his life had been changed. Now we find Jesus in Capernaum, which was a town in the Galilee region, and it's a place that Jesus used kind of as a base of operation for his ministry there. This was also the home for Peter and where his family would have been. We know at this point the word about Jesus and his miracles teachings were spreading like wildfire across the area. He could no longer enter a town without people swarming him wherever he went. So now that everyone knew that Jesus was there, it tells us in verse 2 that so many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. He was speaking the word to them. So here was Jesus trying to get a little rest, but the people knew he was there and just swarmed the house. Can you imagine the sight? A house full of people, everyone pressed up. You got people standing in the doorway. You probably got people squeezing their head into different areas. You've got windows, people lifting people up so they could see through the windows. It would have been a packed house. It would have been packed outside of it. And they're all there just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Everyone in town was there listening to him, hoping to see him perform some kind of miracle. They wanted to see what this Jesus guy was all about. And it seemed everywhere he went, people came from far and wide to see him, to hear him. They would bring their sick to him, the elderly and anyone else in need of hope that Jesus was able to bring. It tells us in verse 4 that they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Here we have a man that was paralyzed and unable to do anything anymore for himself. You know, nowadays when someone becomes paralyzed, depending on the severity, we have things that can help them still be independent, that can still be self-sufficient. But that was not the case back then. If you became paralyzed, you were basically at the mercy of your friends and family. There was nothing else you could do. But this man had four friends that knew he needed Jesus. They understood where their friend was at in life. They understood that he was not able to go to Jesus on his own strength anymore. He could not get to the one that could heal him and restore him alone. They knew this person, to have the best chance of life, needed to get to Jesus, just as we all need Jesus, just as we all need to be able to call out to our Savior. And they were willing not only to tell him that, but to place him on a bed and carry him one on each corner to where Jesus was. They were in his corner. They wanted what was best for their friend. Yet when they got there with their friend, they saw that this was not going to be an easy task. They were not just going to be able to walk right in and up to Jesus in that moment. And I'm sure just like everyone else, they wanted to hear Jesus speak as well. Now, these four friends had a choice to make. They could leave their friend behind and push up through the crowd, work their way through the house, and go listen to Jesus on their own. But that would mean leaving their friend behind. The friend that was in true trouble, that needed them in his corner at that moment. And that's not what they did. It tells us in verse 4, since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof around him, and they dig through it, and they lowered the mat on what the paralytic was lying. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. They saw they couldn't just walk up to Jesus with their friends because of the crowd. There was too much in the way. They could have just turned around and decided, let's go to another day. But no, what did they do? They didn't just give up. They were there in his corner. They were willing to do whatever they had to do. Now, homes back then in that area did have stairways to reach the roof, but it was not something that was easy to walk up a flight of stairs like today. They weren't exactly even all the way through. It still would not have been an easy task. This would have been a hard job to get done, to carry a man up the stairs. For those of you who've ever watched a paramedic bring someone down the stairs or up the stairs, it's not always an easy trip. Here they had to bring this man up the stairs. Now, when they got to the roof, it tells us they removed the roof. Think about that for a second. There would have been a roof tiles that would have been covered with thatch. This would have been thick layers they had to literally dig through. And once you dig through it, you had to remove the tiles, and this all had to be big enough so that they could fit this man with his cot through and lowered down. This was not a 30-second job. This required work and effort. You know, the people below also probably weren't happy about this. Think about it. They're standing down there listening to Jesus teaching, and the debris just starts falling. Everything just starts coming down. If any of you have ever worked construction and someone's working above you and they're cutting and all of that stuff, it can become a mess quickly. And to make things even more complicated, this was not their house. They didn't necessarily have permission to do this. How do you think the homeowner felt at that moment? How would you feel if someone started to cut a hole in your roof? You wouldn't exactly be excited now, would you? The destruction of property would have been enough to send a shockwave. And I'm sure it would have brought some anger to many of us. But you see, the man on the cot, he had people in his corner that were willing to do whatever they had to do to get to Jesus. He had people willing to do oftentimes the unthinkable. They didn't care how other people were looking at them. They didn't care what others had to say or say about it. They were willing to get their hands dirty and carry their friend when he could no longer stand on his own. All to get him to Jesus. Because they knew it was only Jesus that could heal him. It was only Jesus that could restore his life. A lot of times we talk about our own faith. What our faith of our friends, but what about the faith of your friends around you? What about the faith of the people that are supposed to be in your corner? We often underestimate the importance of having those people in our lives. These people that are willing to go to God on your behalf when you're at your weakest moments and to lift you up in prayer. We underestimate the importance of them. We underestimate the importance of having people who will take your burden and lay them at the Savior's feet. We underestimate the importance of not doing life alone. The Bible tells us in verse 5 that seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, did you catch that? He didn't just say seeing his faith. No, it says seeing their faith. Talking about the four people that were in his corner. It's talking about the people he was surrounded with, the ones that were bringing him to Jesus. Folks, who is in your corner this morning? We underestimate that importance of what they bring to our lives. You know, we all go through hard times in lives. We all face situations that just seem to overwhelm us. We like to think that we have it all together, then life comes at us like a ton of bricks. We lose our jobs, we lose our homes. Our families are falling apart. The doctor tells us it's cancer. Everything starts to implode at once. We start wondering, where is God? We start questioning, are we being punished? We can't seem to wrap our heads around where we're at that moment. This is when we need those people in our corner to lift us up, to pray for us, to remind us of the goodness of our Heavenly Father, to help guide us when we start falling off track. Those people that will tell you what you need to hear and not just what you want to hear. It's through these moments that we're reminded of the love that Jesus has for us. We're not being punished. We are reminded that Jesus said your sins are forgiven. That we can trust in the goodness of our Heavenly Father. That he has a plan for us even when we don't see it. You know, the Bible never tells us that life here on earth is going to be easy. That is a misconception. It tells us that we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations in our lives. But God promises that he will be there with us through those trials. That he will stand next to us no matter what we face. Our reward doesn't come from this side of heaven. Our reward is when we see Jesus face to face. That is what our reward is. Now, there's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people that look down on you during your hard times. Oftentimes, those are the yes people. Those are the people that have been telling you to do all the wrong things. And they're also the fastest one to spin on you. It tells us in verse 6 and 7 that some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They didn't believe that God had forgiven this man. They didn't believe that Jesus had the power to do this. Just as there are people in our lives today that don't believe that God will answer your prayers, just as there are people today that say that you're being punished, the They underestimate the power of Jesus. They underestimate his ability to come into your life and restore both your mind, your body, and your spirit. They underestimate what Jesus came to do on that cross for each of us. No, it doesn't mean that we still won't have trials in life. It doesn't mean that there won't be problems in life. But we serve a God that is greater than anything that this world can throw at us. And if we keep our eyes on him, we can count on him guiding and directing us all along the way. When we fall off the road and we have those things, Jesus is standing there calling us back. And our friends and stuff that are in our corner will be there to give us a hand back up as well, to help point us towards Jesus and where he's got for us. But we need to remember, not only do we have people in our corner, we have a Savior in heaven that stands in our corner and reaches out to us each and every day. Just as Jesus did in this moment for the paralytic man, he carries us when we can't stand anymore. He walks along with us in life. He restores us when there's no more hope for us in this world. You know, it tells us in verses 8 through 11, right away Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Jesus not only forgave the man, he restored him. He gave him his life back. He did this because of the people that were in his corner, were willing to do whatever it took to get them to Jesus. My question for you this morning is, who is standing in your corner praying for you? Who is standing in your corner leading you to Jesus? Who is fighting for you this morning? Or have you removed those people from your life that were standing in your corner? Do you know at times we do that? We remove the people that have been there for so long. We don't like what they're telling us. It goes against what we want to hear. It doesn't make us comfortable. It doesn't make us comfortable to have to look inside and change something in our lives. You know, so often I hear people talk about, "Well, I don't go to church because there's just a bunch of sinners." Absolutely, the church is full of sinners. Okay, this is a hospital. That's the point of this. Nobody inside this church is perfect, including myself. None of us are. But we know someone that is, and that is our Savior. All right? The church is full of broken people trying to serve a perfect God. So we have failures. And so we get this idea that we start wanting to do life alone, and we push these other people out and away from us. Have you ever seen a bonfire? You ever seen a big roaring bonfire and it's got all these hot coals in it? And you walk over and you take one of those coals out and you move it to the side. What happens to that coal that's on its own? It dies out. The rest are still going fine, but that one piece of coal is left on its side. When we remove ourselves from those people that are standing in our corner that are encouraging us towards Jesus, we burn out. We no longer can stand on our own and keep that fire lit. God never intended for us to walk this world alone. He said that we are called to be, it's not good for man to be alone. And in that passage, it's not just talking about his wife. It is talking about all of us together. We're not meant to walk this world alone. Instead, we're meant to do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk in unity with one another, to lift each other up, because we all have weak moments. My question to you is, who's in your corner this morning? Who are those people that you know you can count on to tell you what you need to hear? I know for myself, I have an uncle. His name is John. Been absolutely amazing. When my dad was going through his stuff, he was the one that could call me over. I knew I was going to be in trouble when I got there. I knew I was going to have an uncomfortable conversation, but I also knew he was going to tell me what I needed to hear, whether I liked it or not. And praise God for that. He was somebody else that was standing in my corner. Who is in your corner this morning? Who is willing to point you back to Jesus, even if it's that uncomfortable conversation? And my question also for you is, whose corner are you in this morning? Who are you willing to be open and honest with, to encourage, to lift up, and to pray? You know, the story ends in verse 12, and it says, immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were astonished and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. God is waiting for you this morning. He wants to restore you like he did that man in our story this morning. And he's standing in your corner, ready for you to let him in, not just push him to the side. He's waiting for you to make him Lord of your life and willing for you to listen to him. Are you ready for that? Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for each person that is here this morning. Father, we thank you for your son and what he did on that cross for you and I, the way that he has stood in our corner since we first began. Father, may we never forget that. Father, may we open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. Father, may we understand that sometimes you speak to us through other people. Father, may we search out those people that are in our corner, that'll tell us what we need to hear and not just what we want to hear. Father, we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
Amen. As you go out this week, may you remember who is in your corner. And if you've pushed those people out, may you welcome them back in. And remember that Christ is always.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.